Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Yes, it is another amazing day here in Connecticut, a day when we find pleasure and we give gratitude because we are able to provide you with the tools to empower, inspire, and reinvent not only your lives, but is your business. It is my honor to be here to serve you again on this beautiful day.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Yes, as always, it is such an honor to be on this broadcast with you. Today is an amazing day because we are going to be talking about what are some of the experiences we as entrepreneurs need for growth, both personally and professionally. Then we are going to move into we're going to talk about balance. Which is more important if one is personal balance or professional balance? And then we should be able to get to talking about tribes. You know, as entrepreneurs, are we in the right tribes? Or what does it mean to be connected with the right tribe and all of that great stuff? So I'm excited about today's segment. As always, you can join me in the chat room, up and running. You can also call in 646-915-8166. Before I go into the other housekeeping for today, I want to thank all the host families who have welcomed the 28 French students who came to our state yesterday. They arrived on British Airways from London. And I tell you, British Airways was on time. We didn't have to wait too long there. So we actually left the airport during daylight time. So it was good. I tell you, I have been coordinating this program for a number of years. This is the first time that I've had students that had such an exciting smile on their face, and they were just so excited to be here in America. So I thank each and every one of you who are helping to mold these French teenagers into future leaders. You never know. Maybe you are hosting one of France's future leaders. So again, I thank all the families. I know some of you are listening and some of you may catch it on the archive, but I honor you and thank you for supporting that which I am called to do. Again, I want to encourage you to call our cruise consultant, Mrs. Olinda Begg. Her number is 203-539-0094 and 203-818-3174. And you're probably saying, why am I calling her? Well, you're calling her because we are going on a Norwegian, on the cruise ship, Norwegian epic. And we are going for 8 days to Europe. And you are invited to join us because the Empowering People Foundation, Inc., which is the nonprofit that I have founded to fund the breakfast feeding program at my former elementary school in Jamaica, we are doing a fundraiser cruise to help us put some funds aside for building the cafeteria and also for doing the breakfast feeding program. It's a small school. It's only 100 students. And we have committed to feed them a hot breakfast 5 days a week. So will you please help me? You can donate wherever you are. You can donate at http://www.gofundme.com. That's .com/1g, #4, m, and 3 and 8. Even a dollar, whatever you can donate, will help us to meet our goal to build this cafeteria and to feed these children breakfast. Now, so let's tell you about the cruise. Our port of call is Barcelona, Spain, and that's on the 14th of June. Then we are at sea day one, and on the day at sea, we are planning to do a little seminar that we will talk with you about some of the things we are doing for the nonprofit. Then we are going to Naples and Pompeii. Then we are going to Rome on day four. Then we are going to Italy on day five. Day six, we go to France. Day seven, we are in Malacola. And day eight, we are back in Barcelona. Phenomenal, phenomenal prices. Category C balcony is $1,313. Category BE balcony stateroom is $1,273. Category D interior stateroom is $873 per person. And you have a year to pay for the cruise. So why don't you email our consultant, Olinda, OlindaBegg, @AOL.com, or call her on the telephone 203-539-0094 or 203-318-3174. And just let her know you hear about the cruise here on the radio show with Dynamic Daphne. So we look forward to seeing you. We have on there the Blue Man Group Legend in concert. We have the Second City. We have Fat Cats and other great jazz club, and also Hole of the Moon. So we are just excited about this opportunity. And I look forward to meeting you there on the Norwegian Epic. One of my followers on Facebook, when she read it, sent something out and said, "Oh my, I went on the Epic and it is such a great, great cruise ship." N2 Knowledge, welcome to the show. And I encourage you to be part of this conversation. Like your name says, knowledge, I'm sure you have a lot of insight that you want to share with us. So welcome to the show this morning. Yes, I am starting off by speaking about what are some of the experiences we as entrepreneurs need for personal growth and also professional growth. And you all know that Dr. Miles Monroe is one of my mentors and dear friend. And one of his books has, another of his book has been changing my life, and therefore has given me the tools to have this conversation this morning, speaking about experiences. And this book is called Understanding the Kingdom, Miles Monroe, Preparing for Kingdom Experience and Expansion. So it touches my life, and you are going to hear, as I go through different segments of it and share, you are going to see why it has touched my life in such a profound way. And I am praying that it will also touch your life as well. The number to call, as always, is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. Let me hear from you during this conversation. I love for the show to be interactive, and also the chat room is up. I want to read verbatim here from the preface of this book. And Dr. Miles Monroe writes, he says, "While writing this book, I have sometime privately pondered on the following questions." And as you hear these questions, I am sure there are questions that you yourself have been pondering on. I've been pondering on them for my entire life. And the first question is, why is there so much hatred in the world? The second, why do we discriminate against people who possess human values? Why is there racism in the world? What are the benefits of war? Why do men in every generation pursue power at the expense of peace? Number six, why are there so many religions? Why do the religions conflict? Number eight, why can't we love one another on earth? Number nine, why is no religion good enough for all men? Number 10, what can I do to make a difference in the world? Number 11, why is there always tension between politics and religion? Number 12, will there ever be global peace and harmony on this earth? Number 13, why has men's scientific and intellectual advancement, not being able to solve his social, cultural, and religious problems. Number 14, is there hope in our world? And number 15, what about the future of our children? What kind of world will they live in? I am sure I have pondered these very questions and you have done the same thing. Let me continue to read a little more about what Dr. Miles Monroe wrote here. He says, simply asking this question can ignite a spirit of depression and despair because they expose the deficiencies and defects of humanity and cause a sober cloud of doubt about our achievements as a race, as well as our potential to improve our lot. Isn't that the truth? However, I wish to declare with positive hope and excitement that this book presents the solution, an idea that is older than time, yet as fresh as tomorrow, in addressing the heart cries of humanity in our search for a better world. This solution is not found in religion or politics, but in an idea that has been misunderstood for 6,000 years. A concept that was established at the foundation and creation then was lost. I want to welcome guest 467 to the show. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is an idea that provides for the value, equality, significance, and purpose for each of the over 6 billion humans on this planet, all of these, all of whom deserves the best life. This idea is about you and me and something that was always ours by divine right. It is a beautiful idea that has been laying dormant for centuries, awaiting our rediscovery. This book is about your original purpose for existence and the source of meaning behind your life. In these pages, you will discover the Creator's divine motivation, designed and mandate for his creation and your role in that creation. After reading this book, you will be equipped with the knowledge to answer some of the questions listed above. I am convinced also that you will come to believe, as I do, that there is hope for mankind, but only as we reconnect to the source of creation and our Creator, original concept for life on planet Earth. Moses, the great freedom fighter and former prince of Egypt, first recorded in his idea 3,500 years ago in his writings, documenting the creation narrative, but it was already an ancient concept even in his day. Then, 2,000 years ago, this wonderful idea was reintroduced by a young country teacher from Galilee, but later was misunderstood and lost in the complicated foundation of another religion. What is this idea? The kingdom. When one hears the word kingdom, immediately many different ideas, concepts, and pictures come to mind. Most of our concepts in life are the results of our culture, social development, and formal and informal education. We are products of our culture and interpret the world through our mental conditioning. The concept of kingdom, in its original and pure sense, has been lost in our modern world. Kingdom as a concept does not exist anymore in the minds of people of Western civilization, particularly in the past few generations, because all phototypes either have been destroyed or abandoned, because there are no kingdoms or remnant of kingdoms left in our Western world. We live in a generation where the true meaning and greatest message ever told cannot be fully understood. It is this concern that this book is attempt to address. The goal in this book is to reintroduce concepts, principles, and nature of true authentic kingdoms as presented by the Creator, and show the superior and advantageous nature of kingdom as compared to why religion, political ideology, government systems, and social program. Join me as we explore and understand the precepts and principles of kingdom. Yes, if you have just joined me, I was just reading from Dr. Miles Monroe's book, Preparing for Kingdom Experience and Expansion. You heard me mention some topic and subject matter that the author have pondered. And I am going to ask N2 Knowledge, as I went through that list, N2 Knowledge, are these topics that are dear to your heart? Have you pondered some of these, if not all of them, during your lifetime? You can either type in the chat room to answer me, or you can call in if your situation allows you to. The number is 646-915-8166. However, as entrepreneurs, I think there are some who have spent so much time. Okay, Wes, thank you very much, N2 Knowledge. I know I'm in good company now, because I know I'm not isolated out there. Are you an entrepreneur yourself? I know as entrepreneurs, a lot of entrepreneurs spend time and too much energy focusing on the competition instead of spending time to harness those experiences that will expand our businesses and put us before the clients and customers. Okay, thank you. Who knows? I'm sure whatever era you're in now, you are a leader in that role. And who knows, when you retire there, you might be stepping out into that additional calling that you have on your life. I was just replying to what someone wrote in the chat room. Oh, wonderful. Isn't that the truth? Someone in the chat room wrote that it's their next goal to become an entrepreneur because working for other people has not gotten them very far. Well, you are at the right place this morning, because as I don't know whether or not you follow the show, but you can always go back and look on the different archives. Every conversation that we have ever had over the 4 years that I've been doing the show are in the archives, and you can access them. And there's some, I tell you, there are some provocative dialogue there that will help to point you into the direction that you want to go as an entrepreneur. I think I want to read the introduction of this this book, and then I am going to go into some of the keys and principles that we ought to use to help to expand our businesses. I tell you, take your eyes and focus on energies off of your competition and put it into acquiring the resources and the knowledge and the relationships that you want. All right? So here is something from the introduction of this book. And then we are going to get into the conversation. I want to again read this verbatim so it will get you, the listeners, whether you're listening on archived or you're listening live, it will get you in the frame of mind. It is like preparing a meal, and you have to prepare the different ingredients. I feel that I already gave you some points that he pondered as the author. And now I want to give you the introduction. And by so doing, when we get to the different kingdom experiences, you are going to be up to be receiving those that work for you and for putting aside those that do not work. The greatest threat to civil society is mankind. The greatest threat to civil society is mankind. Every day, the flood of images on our television screens tell sad stories. Blood, death, diplomacy, conflict, hatred, fear, poverty, starvation, rape, genocide, refugees, and human migration, natural disaster, daily bombings, economic uncertainty, immigration, corporation, corruption, moral decay, sexual revolution, and clash of countercultures. All these testify to the undeniable fact that we are our own worst enemy. Isn't that the truth? All of the universities, cyberspace technologies, BlackBerry's think tank, GH meeting, physical and immigration policies, medical advancements, social experiences, religious conferences, peace marches, declarations and ceasefire, peace on earth, all seems to collapse at the mercy of our own self-imposed destructive spirit. We build buildings and then bomb them. We make weapons and then use them on others. We invent medicines that heal and then withhold them from the sick. We improve the World Wide Web to enhance global communication and then use it to destroy the moral fiber of our children. We are our greatest enemies. Source of religion. All of this is compounded by our establishment of sophisticated religions, into which we retreat to escape the social chaos we have created. Religion is the most powerful source on earth, despite the claims of many to the contrary. Everyone on earth is religious. Religion is defined as the adherence to a set belief that regulate the moral, social, and ritualistic behavior of an individual. This defection would include the so-called atheist, secularistic, communist, socialist, humanistic, and or agnostic. For they all adhere to a belief system of some kind, even if it is the belief that there is no provincial component in creation or life as we know it, or a belief in the power of human as the supreme measure of truth and right. Virtually every major problem in history and in the contemporary world can be traced to some religious foundation. Religions has motivated the massacre of millions over the years. In such horrific events as the Crusade, the Inquisition, and wars related to Protestant Reformation and the Catholic Confrontation, slavery, ethnic cleansing, apartheid, segregation, racial discrimination, and other oppressive practices we have all justified by some religious code or systems. Even this new millennium commenced with definitive acts of religious terrorism, the terrorist attack September 11, 2001, sent shockwaves through the global nerve system of mankind and continues today to fuel the fires of conflict, hatred, fear, and murder throughout the world. How ironic is it that religion, in everything that by its nature is supposed to provide solution to mankind's problem and provide hope and fear for life, has itself created some problems throughout history than it has solved. Perhaps this is one reason so many millions have turned away from all forms of institutionalized religions and opt to embrace such philosophy as humanism, communism, agnosticism. Some have simply given up and lost all hope of humanity. I myself have struggled along some of the grips with this dictionary of human nature. Our desire to worship and serve some deity that we claim to be benevolent and loving, while at the same time demonstrating a destructive zeal motivated by our allegiance to this same deity. Along the way, I too lost faith in the concept of religion and in the real sense had to seek for something beyond the superior of these defective practices created by man. Yet, religion is a natural phenomenon that exists in some form in every human culture and always has. Primitive and modern human societies alike manifest religious rituals that define their culture and communal life. This raises the natural question: what is the source of religion? And why is it such a natural, inherent characteristic of human spirit? 35 years of research and personal exploration on this question have led me to the conclusion that religion is the result of inherent hunger in the human spirit that man cannot define yet, must seek to satisfy. This indefinable hunger arises from a vacuum created by the loss of something man used to possess, derives him to pursue answers beyond his own realm. Generations of humans have attempted to satisfy this hunger through superstitions, sophisticated rituals, customs, and practices that often seem to defy human logic and reasons. Most human religions' activities attempt to deal with the questions of human existence and purpose, as well as life after death and the unknown spiritual world. Many of these religions are attractive because they promise their adherents power to control the circumstances of their daily lives. Whether or not they can deliver on this promise is another matter. The purpose of this book is to help you address these questions and to present you a proposition that goes beyond religion straight to the heart of mankind's greatest need and offer a solution to this universal human search. I am convinced that every person on earth ultimately is searching for two things in his life: power and purpose. All of us for meaning of our existence and power to control our lives and circumstances, power to determine the future and predict the unknown, power over death and life. We seek this purpose and power in many ways: religion, politics, money, fame, notoriety, recognition, influence. Our pursuits of purpose and power of the primary source and motivation for the development of religion. I want to pause here. I still have a bit to finish here on the introduction, but I want to pause for any questions, either on the phone by calling 646-915-8166. Any question, comments, or remarks from the chat room as well. I will pause a hot second here to see whether or not you have any remarks, feedback, or comments. You may call if you do, 646-915-8166, or from the chat room you may type if you have. All right. I think that was enough time to dial. No typing from the chat room. I will continue. All religions are the same. Now I know after I read this part, the phone is going to be ringing off the hook. All religions are the same. All religions are the same in the sense that they attempt to answer the questions of power and meaning. They all promise power to control life and circumstances to explain life and death. They all claim to have truth. They all claim superiority over each other. They all compare and compete with each other. They all demand adherence to their particular belief system while denying the others. They all are motivated by contention and usually thrive in the isolated culture that exclude other segment of humanity. In fact, all religions seem to glory in the spirit of segregation and separatism rather than uniting humanity with common power and knowledge of purpose, religion has proven itself instead to be a great divider of mankind. Now I know my phone is going to be ringing off the hook. The non-religious answer. In this book, this is a religious book. This is not a religious book, but a book about concept that was introduced in the beginning of the creation of man. The concept is the source of human search and its absence in the reason why man invented religion. Before I can attempt to discuss this dynamic concept, it is necessary to refer to the document where it was first introduced in the book of the beginnings. In the book of Moses, the great Hebrew writer and freedom fighter, whose words explain the reason for mankind's search of purpose and power. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and then have domain over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And that's Genesis 1:26. That's where those writings came from. This statement documents the most important declaration ever made regarding mankind. It declares the motivation, nature, purpose, and mandate behind mankind's creation. As this statement makes clear, dominion is the purpose of man's creation and existence. The word dominion here translates the Hebrew word manlaka, which can also be translated as kingdom, sovereign rule, or royal power. In essence, mankind was created to have rulership over the earth. All right, I have a caller. Let me go to this caller. Good morning, caller. Your last four digits are 2464. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, this is Into Knowledge from the chat room. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hello, how are you, my brother? Thank you so much for calling and for joining me on this amazing day.
I'm doing very well, and I appreciate you taking my call. This is the first time I've ever actually come to your show, so.
Oh, thank you for coming. I hope this won't be the last time.
I hope so as well.
Okay.
I won't say that it will be the last time, but I'm up early today, so I was just looking around, and this particular show caught my eye.
Yes, I'm ruffling a little feather this morning. Go ahead, please.
I have a question about something that you just read.
Yes.
Which is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26.
Yes.
I do believe, if my memory serves me correct. And it said, "And God said, let us make man." Correct?
Yes.
I've always wondered why that verse goes from singular to plural.
Because man is not categorized as a gender. It's human. It's not man and woman. It encompasses, when God created, it encompasses both gender. So when we always speak, we as a people, we are the one that start to put the label and stigma and all of these things. And as as our author here is saying, Dr. Miles Monroe, I'm not sure whether you are familiar with his work. Religion is what has, over these times, has put a spin on it. And that's why religious people are a little bit confused.
Well, first of all, I'm not a religious person. Religion comes from the Latin word religio, which means to bind, to
tie together. That's right. That's right.
The problem with religion, and this is just my opinion.
That's right.
And because in the beginning you were talking about, you ran through a list of things
that we pondered.
And,
yes.
Right, and it made reference to religion and how it seems to do more to divide people
than it does to
unify them.
Yes, yes.
And I personally think that's by design. I mean, we live in a world of duality. And I find it quite interesting, especially in the United States, that no matter what religion you espouse, it's sponsored by the government.
So
the government actually perpetuates the existence and will fund your religious endeavors no matter what they are. And a lot of people get that confused with the separation of church and state in the Constitution, which really is making reference to not being religiously persecuted.
You know something, my brother? You just said something that hit close to home. A couple years ago, I was in a federally funded grant position in a certain organization here in Connecticut. And then when the government changed, I no longer have a job because the funds that used to be sent for my program, they did exactly what you just said. They created all these religious entities that the monies that were sent to drug empowerment programs were no longer coming to those programs, but they were going through these religious entities. And are you there?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay, yeah, I'm just hearing some feedback. I guess it was the wind. And then a lot of people was out of jobs. A lot of people who needed those services could no longer get those services. And a lot of religious organizations jumped on the bandwagon and gathered millions of dollars. Were they serving the people? Hello, question mark there. And there were so many competitions because you and I, we are in the same community. And instead of us get around the same table and brainstorm and say, let's put our resources together to service the people. No, I'm over the North End creating my program. And you walk four blocks down the road in the same community, I'm creating my own and going for the same almighty dollar. So, you know, you are on the mark, and I'm so honored that you took the time to call in to say this. And people need to open their eyes and start to realize what is happening. I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm going to share something with you about my personal experience. I'm extremely spiritual, and however, I worship regularly at an organized place of worship. It's not it is categorized as a church because it carries the label of non-denominational. However, there are still cliques there. For example, when I'm having an event and I would share it with the body there, one of the first questions that I'm always asked by the people I approach, are the people coming to the event saved? And I said, I have no idea, because I was not called to work with the saved. I am called to work with human beings. So, you know, there's a lot of blindfolds that need to be removed, and people need to stand up and take a stand against these organized religions, because they are not seeking to get the information that they need, that instead of competing against others, they will learn to collaborate, which is what you are talking about this morning. Let us pull together to do better.
Well, that's that's very altruistic. I think the reality of the situation is that religion has a very long history. And unfortunately, not much has changed from the time that it started all the way up until today. And we're talking over, what, 3,000 years?
Years, that's right. Over 3,000 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Easily over 3,000 years. So, I mean, I'm not a pessimistic person, but that's one of the reasons why. That's one of the reasons why I don't get involved in religion, because religion fosters superstition.
And hatred. And hatred.
It fosters hatred. It fosters intolerance.
That's right.
However, the people who are involved in it, you can't get them to understand that, because they don't even see that aspect of it is embedded in what it
that's
is
right.
that they believe in. And
that's
one
right.
of the reasons why I don't get into, I kind of stay out of religious discussions, because basically you're talking to somebody's belief system. And that's not something that you can, that's not something that you can change. That's a change
that's right.
that has to come
from within
that particular individual.
That's right.
What I do try to point out is the inconsistencies.
That's right.
In what they believe. I was on a show the other day, and this guy, his name is Pastor Tim. And I don't know, on the show, someone was, I don't know, somebody had mentioned dancing. So he said that dancing is not something that people should do, and it's in the Bible. So I asked him very simply, I said, can you reference that for me, please? Where does it say that? And his response was that, well, I can't tell you exactly where it says that. However, and then I stopped him right there, and I said, don't you think that it's erroneous on your part to tell someone that in the Bible it says that you're not supposed to do this, but you can't give them a reference point in terms of where they can go and look and see where it says that? And his response was, well, you have to have faith, because you can't believe in something that has faith if you don't have faith. And I asked him very simply, I said, well, isn't the definition of faith the belief in things not seen or heard?
That's right.
Yes. He said, yes. And I said, okay, so basically what you're saying to me is you want me to have faith in what you're telling me.
That's right. Well, you haven't even seen it.
When I haven't even seen it. And I said, there's something wrong with that, because I believe it was Jesus Christ who said, put your faith in no man.
That's right now.
And I asked him, I said, am I quoting that correctly?
He wasn't very happy for that question.
he said, yes, you are. And I said, well, that just negates everything you just said.
Just said. You know, it's amazing.
Because I have no faith in you.
That's right. Because he couldn't give you any facts to back up what he says. And if he had his facts on point and he said, oh, well, it is in John 2, whatever, it's right here, then it give you a point of reference to go, and it give you a point to debate, but there's nothing. And that's what happened with religious folks, my brother. They'll
yep.
tell you it's in the Bible. I have one of my religious friends the other day, she said to her husband, oh, well, did you know that Daphne was advocating homosexuality? And she went on and she went on, and I gave her time to catch her breath. And I said, well, if I don't advocate for them, who is? I said, you forgot where you came from. I said, you might not have been a homosexual, but you forgot that you were not always as religious as you are now. And
correct.
She says, but the Bible says, I said, stop. We're not going to go there about the Bible. I said, stop. Because I said, we all read the Bible and interpret it to what we want it to mean to us. And
right.
the next thing, when I get into this kind of a debate, which I enjoy with my religious friends because I respect them, but I said, I have made the decision to do such and such for my life. I'm not going to change you. I respect you. I'll have conversation with you. But I said, you don't tell me what to do when it comes to my spiritual encounters and endeavor. And the next thing I hear, oh, yeah, now she become New Age. And I said, yeah, it's time for a change. So you need to become New Age too, you know. But there's so much going on out there. There's so much going on out there, my brother. You know, I enjoy your call this morning. Let me ask you a personal question. What do you do?
Well, I'm in between jobs right now. The last job I did, I managed business accounts
mm-hmm.
for a fleet car company.
All right. But you say you were on a show last week. Were you on as a guest or what?
Yes.
And what were you talking about?
Well, there's various shows that I go to. Basically, I go to a morning show, which is current events.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, she just kind of talks about, like, what's going on in politics. Like, they did the, I think that bill that just passed where if a woman is, I think, 22 months or further
mm-hmm.
along in her pregnancy, she can't have an
mm-hmm.
abortion.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Voting Rights Act. I think it was Title IV of it, where you know, where a lot of people misunderstood what that litigation was with the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that
mm-hmm.
was in reference. That was in reference to the Jim Crow laws. You know, you have
mm-hmm.
southern states;
mm-hmm.
they impose all of these extra things that you have to do to be a registered
mm-hmm.
voter, and they were
mm-hmm.
saying that was outdated. So
okay.
they weren't really striking down the Voting Rights Act,
mm-hmm.
saying that you won't be able to vote. It's just that
mm-hmm.
what they're saying is for those states who like to tack on extra requirements.
For Benz, okay.
You know, they're allowed
yeah.
to do it. Okay, we need
uh-huh.
to see your driver's license. We need you to take this particular test. You know, just other ways
yeah,
to discriminate against people.
Yeah, human mandate, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, and they had put a provision in there to where they couldn't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And now what they did was they rescinded it. So those particular states who were doing it before, now they're able to do it again. But they can't stop you from registering. They can't
okay.
stop you from registering.
Okay.
So it's,
now
it's just different things like that we talk about.
All right.
About.
So listen, you choose the name that suits you, N2 Knowledge.
Well, and the reason why I chose that name is because
uh-huh.
that's what I'm always attracted to.
It's your passion.
Things where I can acquire knowledge, because like the
mm-hmm.
old saying goes, a wise man knows that he really knows nothing at all.
That's right. It's like last week, I think it was Sunday, I was on the show and I was talking about life is a classroom. We are in school every day. And when you negate the fact, that fact, you are losing out.
Right. And it's like the more that you learn, the more you realize how much you really don't know.
You don't know. That's right.
And the
you
more
don't
and,
know.
And there's and no matter how long you live, there's so much that you will never know that went on. And I listened to this one guy. I listened to his lectures, and he said something very interesting, because he said that most people go through their existence on this earth never really knowing what is going on in terms of behind the scenes.
Yes, it's like they're living behind a rose-colored glass, and all of a sudden somebody put a shift, just shift it from part of one eye, and all of a sudden they're seeing a whole nother gamut.
I always give people a very simple movie to watch if they want to understand how the world works. Now, they have to, and I know I'm about to say something that people might trip out on, but...
Yeah, that's all right. They are lighting up the switchboard, because these are the experiences that entrepreneurs need, because they're sitting too comfortable in mediocrity. So you rock the boat, my brother.
There's a difference between the exoteric and the esoteric. And the best example of the exoteric versus the esoteric is when you listen to politicians. Because people who are well-versed, they can say something to an audience, and it'll have one meaning for one group of people, and it'll have a completely different meaning for another group of people, but it'll be the exact same sentence.
That's right. That's right.
And if people are not careful, and if people don't think critically... they'll never understand both meanings. They'll only get one.
Right.
But the people who understand the esoteric meaning automatically understand the exoteric meaning, meaning what's just on the surface.
Esoteric is what's
under beneath. So before I go, I always recommend to people to watch the most occult movie that's ever been made, The Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. Why is that? And you're not going to go, because I have a question for you, but why have you chose that movie?
I'll make it very simple. All right. This is how the esoteric works. In the beginning of the movie, it starts out in black and white. And then it shifts to color. Well, esoterically, what they're telling you visually in the movie is that the black and white represents reality. The color aspect of the movie represents an illusion. Now, where this comes home is that at the end of the movie, she finds out that it was all a dream. She was asleep. It never really happened, because she wakes up in her bed after the tornado is over. And the movie switches back. And then you have, they give you the Holy Trinity, which is the Lion, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man. Now, look very carefully. The Lion has no courage. The Tin Man has no heart. The Scarecrow has no brain. These match certain aspects of the human element. Won't get into all that. Everybody should be able to identify it. But as the movie progresses, what you have is these three characters are searching for something that they think they don't have. And through a series of events during their journey, they find out that they had them all along. It was never missing.
Wow.
It was only in their minds that they thought that they didn't have it. There's a scene in the movie where the Scarecrow has to use his brain. There's a scene in the movie where the Lion has to show courage.
Courage.
There's a scene in the movie where the Tin Man shows heartfelt emotions, because he starts crying and then he gets all stiff.
So the
very thing that they're out there looking for, they have the whole time.
Let me tell you something. It is not by accident that you have called in this morning, and I want to thank you, because what you have just demonstrated and illustrated is what entrepreneurs need. If it's the one experience that they can use to turn around their business and to experience growth, magnificent growth,
right,
it's this example that you have just given.
Right.
Because
exactly.
I think you heard me mention about the chasing competition and all of that.
Exactly.
They don't need to do that because we all have within us that.
Exactly.
Which we need. Go ahead. You were saying something, and I thought you were going to
pause it. And that's okay. And the most important aspect of the movie is that they were all in search of the all-knowing Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
Now, what does the Wizard of Oz represent? Well, he represents God, because I quote, the all-knowing, all-powerful Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
Now, here's the trick to it. Here's the play on the whole Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get to the Emerald City and they get to talk to the Wizard of Oz, they find out it's a man behind a curtain.
Talking about religion again, going back, there are many people that's going to somebody behind a glass. Woo! Lord, I think I have to find a way to have you back here. You and I could have a whole lot of fun. Yeah, but listen, I'm going to go back to something you wrote in the chat room earlier on.
Yes.
That, and you said it again when you came on the phone, that you are between work and you found out that working for others has not got you far. No.
No.
Why haven't you harnessed in some way this skill and expertise and knowledge that you have acquired? I don't know for how long, but you have vested some time. Why haven't you found a way to convert this into an entrepreneurial venture?
Because when you get in the habit of working, like going to work and having a job, it has a way of pacifying you. You know, it's like, I got my apartment, I got my furniture, I got my computer, I got my flat screen TV in the living room, I got my flat screen TV in the bedroom. Right. And then when your situation gets shaken up, you have to reevaluate.
Reinvent. It's time for reinvention.
Exactly. And then you have to look at the situation and say to yourself, okay, is this what I really want to go through, where I can go to a job, I can put my best foot forward, I can do a good job? Like the job I was on, I got promoted, twice in 3 years, I got promoted. And then all of a sudden, I get a new manager, and I'm doing the same work, and the new manager basically tells me that I'm incompetent.
Woo, Lord. Now you know that there was some jealousy there. You wasn't incompetent. She'd think you're going to take her position.
She's like, oh, you're incompetent. She didn't say you're incompetent. She was like, well, I don't feel like you've met the standards of the requirements that we have, and I don't feel like there's any room for growth here.
Wow.
So we're going to have to terminate you. This is after 5 years of working there. Never had an issue with any coworker. Never had an issue with anyone in management.
Mm.
And here's the irony of the whole thing. She terminates me, and in less than 30 days,
they terminate her.
No, she left for another job.
Isn't that something?
You know, it made me think, now what kind of person, and it wasn't like she didn't know she was leaving. It wasn't like that. I mean, people just...
She knew you were going to get her position when you left, and she just envied you. If you look in the chat room, I've put my email address there. I want to send you an intake, and I'm offering you, when you get it back to me, I'm offering you a complimentary coaching session.
Well, thank you very much.
So, yeah, my email is in there, and I'll get it to you. You get it back to me, and we set up some time to spend on the phone to see how we can, how I can get you to do something different. Because you know something, and it's okay, too, that she terminated you, because after 5 years, your season was finished. And what she has done, she acted in the role of a mother eagle. She pushed you out so you can fly. So you just need to, you know, not be envious about it. You just need
to
start flying.
Oh, I'm not.
And
I'm not.
Let me ask you, have you learned any lessons from that? Have you took the time to dissect the 5 years in that company? And have you learned any lessons from it?
Yeah, I need to start doing something for myself.
Okay.
I'm not in a position where somebody can just pull the rug out from everything.
From under you. I'm going to tell you to do something that I know all my male clients don't want to do it. When I tell them to do it and I'm face-to-face with them, they roll their eyes. And I tell them 3 more times, then they can roll their eyes on the 4th time. So, do you journal?
I haven't done it in quite some time.
All right, so I want you to go out and buy a journal today and start journaling. There's a lot that you have up in there you need to journal, and you don't even have to read over what you journal. Journal it and just put it aside, because you have so much in the cabinets, and the cabinets are bursting at the seams. You need to empty those cabinets so that they can hold some new stuff. And the only way to do that is to journal, get it out, so the new creative juice can begin to flow so you can go where you deserve to be, my brother.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, well, I honor you. Do you want to say anything else?
No, I appreciate the fact that you gave me this time to talk to you. It was very enjoyable, and I thank you very much. I like what you're doing.
Thank you so much, and it's such an honor, because this is why we are here. I love to talk, and I enjoy talking, but when I have a caller that can call in and affirm the result that I intended to happen without me guiding it, it was beautiful. I could not have paid you for what happened this morning. So I honor you. And I thank you, because, you know, the Spirit always guide me in the right direction. And I just need to be patient in doing, and be obedient in doing what I need to do. So I look forward to remaining in communications with you. You have my email there.
Yes, I do.
And you know, I'll give you a complimentary coaching session. I want you to get the journals, and you don't have to get expensive leather bound. You can even get the black and white composition books and just empty up. Just keep writing. And don't even read them. File them once you write them, because you go back. I'll tell you one more thing before you go, why I'm such an advocate for journaling. For years ago, I'm from Jamaica, West Indies, and years ago, I kept dreaming about my former elementary school. I would dream different things about the building, the grounds, the fruit trees, just different things. I did not know why. Last summer, I was privileged to go back to my school. It wasn't a planned trip, but I went there by default. And I spoke to the principal and asked her how was the school, and she briefed me on how the school was going. And she said it was one problem, the kids were coming to school without breakfast. And the minute she said that, I heard a voice inside of me said, that's why I send you here today. And from that visit, I have then founded a nonprofit organization called the Empowering People Foundation that I am working on feeding a hot breakfast to the students 5 days a week. And also, my long-term goal is to build them a cafeteria, because the same little two-room kitchen that I graduated from over 50 years ago is the same little two-room kitchen they have to that school. And okay. I'm sharing that to tell you because as I come back and began going through some of my old journals, I saw those dreams that I had about the school and what I wrote. So you never know.
That's right.
Okay, so I thank you, my brother. I thank you so very much for calling in, and I look forward to us communicating.
Okay, I thank you as well, Daphne.
All right, you're very welcome. All right, bye-bye. That was such a wonderful, wonderful call, and what a knowledgeable gentleman. And it's just, that's what I encourage. I love when my listeners call in and share their insight. So with that being said, I'm going to go through, and that was so great. I tell you, that's the experience, part of the experience that I'm looking for entrepreneurs. And I am going to go through some of the principles here from the first chapter of the book. And then I'm going to finish with tribes and more. I'll talk about balance a little bit. We have 43 minutes remaining. Principles. One, 90% of all the national and international problems facing our world today are the result either of government and religion. You heard us talk about that. The need for government and order is inherent in the human spirit and is a manifestation of divine mandate given to mankind by his creator. Man's need for some formal government structure is an outgrowth of his need for social order and relationship management. Number four, the mandate of the Creator for mankind was rulership and dominion. Number five, some governments are better than others, but all are inferior to God's government and the kingdom of heaven. Feudalism, as a concept of governing, was a derivative of the original government established in the Garden of Eden, and the first man, Adam, who himself was made a landlord of the earth. Feudalism is an illustration of the danger of putting the authority that belongs to the King of Heaven into the hands of ungodly and unrighteous human kings and lords. A dictatorship is a government that concentrates its power and authority in the hands of one individual who wields absolute authority unrestricted by laws, constitution, and other social and political factors. Communism is man's attempt to control land and people by the exercise of dictatorship. Communism is an attempt to establish a kingdom without righteousness. Socialism constitutes the state for the king and attempts to control society for the benefit of society. Democracy is the best form of civil government as we know it because it is basic tenets and because of the checks and balance of the system. One major defect of democracy is its fundamental principles of majority rule. which even though it gives power to the majority of the people, places morality, values, and standards for law of the mercy of the majority, thus legitimizing the majority's values, desires, beliefs, aspirations, and preferences. Our best alternative is to return to the original government of God the Creator, which is the kingdom concept. Now we have 39 minutes remaining, and I want to address which is more important, personal or professional balance. And if you are on the phone, I want you to call me and tell me in your evaluation which you think is more important. I respect what your views are. However, for me, I have found out that it is a 50-50 play for me. If my personal life is out of balance, then my professional life goes out of balance. And I've found out that since I have learned to operate a 50-50 balance, I am getting better at everything. For example, a few months ago, I chose to have a lifestyle transformation. I began doing different things. I began eating differently. I began doing some exercises, mainly walking. And one of my friends in Atlanta, Georgia, who I've not seen for maybe 4 years, she sent me a message on LinkedIn yesterday, and she said, "Whoa, you get better with age," she says. And she says, "What are you doing? You look fabulous." And I tell you, I am, right now you can call it, if you may, living on the edge. Last year, or 2012, when I was in Jamaica, I did zip lining for the first time. Even my son was so scared, he didn't want to go zip lining. And I went zip lining. I've always rode a horse, but in addition to riding in the trails up in the mountains, I also rode in the ocean. And I tell you, it is such a rewarding experience that I had. It really helped me very much to balance my life. And as I look on those things that I am doing, it shows me that I can do the same thing in my business. I can stretch out and I can go beyond the normal, and I can accomplish that which I am set out to accomplish. Because I operate from my authenticity and my uniqueness, yes, I have colleagues, but I have no competitors. Because when you operate from your authentic core, there are no competition out there, because you are competing from, you are operating rather from your authenticity. So, be sure to balance. What does balance mean for you? You need to sit down and create a list. What are the things that you need to be doing that will show you that, yes, my life is in balance? Not for someone else, not because someone else tells you to do it, but because you know it's the right thing to do for you. There comes a time when you must tell yourself enough is enough. And you don't have to listen to what others tell you to do. You don't have to do what others are doing. But you do that which will enhance your life. You know, what are you eating? What kind of a relationships are you involved in? You know, we spoke about the different experiences. If you are someone that is overpowered with religion, I ask you to go to the drawing board and examine that. Ask, are you getting what is needed from that? Are you being manipulated down the wrong path? Are you able to make decisions from yourself? Not because someone else tells you to do that, but because you are making the right choice for you. We as entrepreneurs, we have the power and the ability to expand our business, but we need to make the decision to take the responsibility to go beyond the norm. You got to move out of the status quo and you got to do things differently. Not because somebody else is doing it, but because you know that that is what it takes to take your business to the next level. It is not easy, but it can be done. You must be bold in telling your family members and whoever else is associated with you who think it is their God-given right to tell you what you need to do and how you need to do it. But in order for you to be bold to tell them enough is enough and you don't need to hear from them, you must know what you're about. You must know who you are and the actions that you need to take to get you to the next level. So again, I am open to a call, 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. So you can call in and just share with us about your take on the balance, which is more important, your personal balance or your professional balance.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
All right, so remember to protect your intellectual property. Don't leave your stuff out there hanging. All right, so let's talk about, we spoke about some of the experiences that entrepreneurs need to have to grow their business. And don't you love The Wizard of Oz? I think that is such a phenomenal scenario for us as entrepreneurs to use in our business. So go back and listen to the archive. Go back and watch. I have to get that movie and I have to watch it. And I have to watch it regularly because I've never heard it being laid out like how my honored caller laid it out. And I know it's going to help me and I know it will help you too. We spoke about my experience with balance, and if you want to see some of the pictures that I spoke about, on you can look on my Facebook. and you will see some of the pictures with me riding and ziplining and everything. And while I mentioned Facebook, if you have not yet connected with me, I want for you to please join me on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne. Join me on LinkedIn, Daphne Clark Hudson. Join me on Facebook.com and / Dynamic Daphne. I want you to also visit my website, Daphne Clark Hudson Empowers.com, and you will get some cool freebies there, DVDs, ebooks, and lots of neat things you can collect there, and sign up for my mailing list. I look forward to hearing from each of you. And if you can sign up there and you want a free coaching session, complimentary, if you send me an email at dynamicdaphne@aol.com, I will send you an intake form and you will get an opportunity to get a free complimentary coaching session from me. All right, let's go into the third aspect of this segment. Let's talk about tribes. What are the right tribes for us to be in? Tribe for me is time to influence and become empowered. That's what tribe is for me. Time to influence or empower or improve, whatever you want to use it the I for. But for me, it's time to influence and become empowered. Now, look around for your tribes, your networking group. Are you bringing something to the table? Or are you just going there to hang around? Develop a list of the advantages of you being part of that group. How are they engaging your skills and talents? Are you given an opportunity to share on a regular basis? As you look around the table, are you able to add value in a special way? Are you able to relate to other people's businesses? When you are not there and you meet someone, do you know enough about their business that you can share with someone about why they should do business? Are you having fun when you are with this tribe? Have you learned more leadership skills since you became part of this tribe? How does being with the tribe make you feel? Do you feel as if they are members of your family? Do you feel as if each and every member of this tribe that you have connected with, is there an opportunity for them to help you to grow your business? Are there wealth opportunities? Are there joint ventures opportunities? As you look on these relationships and you can think, well, I know it is to my advantage to connect with Daphne for such and such a reason. Here is how I can add value to what she's doing, and here is how I see her adding value to what I'm doing. What kind of a conversations are taking place when you are in this tribe? Are you empowered enough to separate yourself or even to stop conversations that are taking place in this gathering that you think are unhealthy. You must understand that you cannot wait on someone else to take action. You need to take action for that which you see is not right for your business. Do not just be part of a tribe because this person is there or that person is there. I want you to take your time to assess and evaluate why you think this would be a great match for you. All of us have something great to give. However, there are a lot of times when we are not given that which is right for us to give to a particular tribe because we have not took the time to write these things down. Here is what I come with. It's like you're going to a bank for a loan and you know that they need certain documentation and certain criteria they call for. So you go prepared. So when you are going to be part of a tribe, a network, group, or a gathering, you need to go with this same awakening and an awareness of here is what I come with. This is what I have to offer. I know that a lot of times we can learn so much from young people. We look on times and I know that there was a time, and there probably still is, when young people get so labeled because they are part of a quote-unquote gang. And I remember years ago I was speaking to a guidance counselor. Now he's gone home to heaven, Donald Tutson. And he said, gang is not a bad thing. Gang is such simple, a gathering of people who are networking and collaborating their ideas. He said, I look back over my childhood and I was part of a gang. He said, I did not come out too badly. Did I? He asked the question. However, it goes that because we are so influenced by society and society's evaluation of different things in our lives, we always have the wrong understanding or misunderstanding of certain things, especially when it is surrounded by certain ethnic or cultural groups. Again, I'm asking you to assess and evaluate for yourself. You know, I am so excited about social media and internet and all of that because it gives us the opportunity where we can reach out to people globally, we can reach out to people and get help and support for that which we want. We no longer must focus on just our local district or zip code. I know another thing that falls under the heading of tribe are mastermind groups. And these are held all over the world. I know people who are in the U.S. and yet members of their mastermind groups are in Asia, they're in Australia, they're in Canada. With Skype and everything like that, we can just get the greatest opportunity of everything. So I'm lingering. I just need to get some water here. I have not had any water since I started this morning, so let me moist my throat. Good. Now my throat is moistened and it will last for another 19 minutes. So I want to encourage you, get connected. Get into mastermind groups. Get into networking groups. Get into organizations that is in your industry. Do not isolate yourself. There are a lot of wonderful opportunities out there. Yes, you like myself might have gotten bitten before in the past. However, all is not lost. Learn your lesson and move on. Learn your lesson and move on. Find five people that you respect and trust and send them an email asking them to be part of a group that you're putting together. And that could be, you would be the number six. So it's one plus you, five plus you, number six, for a mastermind group. And you decide what you want your mastermind to focus on, how often you want to get together. So you get all of that together and you call up five people, people that you respected from a distance. You sometimes even will call them mentors from a distance. This is your opportunity. I want for you to reach out to them because you are inviting them to be part of your tribe. I know that once you start to type this email, fear is going to be popping up and tell you, well, why do you think such and such a person is going to reply to you? I want you to go into that authentic place of yours and tell your mind to shut up. Shut up, mind, and I want you to continue from your authentic place, your core place, to type that email and send it out to the five people that you respect. It doesn't matter where they are. You might have been reading about them or you saw them on the news or whatever. You might have been to an event where they have spoke on the platform. You might be reading their books or listening to their CDs. I'm challenging you to send an email inviting them to be part of your tribe. And in so doing, let them know what you are coming to the table with and how you plan on adding value to them. We are down to 16 minutes and we still have time for one for more calls. 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. I want to also remind you about the Norwegian Epic Cruise that the Empowering People Foundation, Inc. is sponsoring because we want to raise some money. And it reads here, aboard the Norwegian Epic Mediterranean Style, join us June 15th, 2014 for 1 week on the amazing inspirational cruise aboard the Norwegian Epic Mediterranean Style with the dynamic life transformer, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson, inspirational speaker and teacher, We are delighted to invite you to join us on one of our fantastic cruise ships, Norwegian Epic Mediterranean Style. Norwegian Epic is offering world-class programs on a new wave of accommodation activities. More than 20 dining options with complimentary, including 24/7 pizza delivery anywhere on board. Join the Blue Man Group Legend in Concert, The Second City, Fat Cats, Jazz Company, and Howl of the Moon. You may be part of this fantastic cruise by calling 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3174. You may also email Olinda, OlindaBegg at AOL.com. She is our cruise consultant. And here, our port of call is Barcelona, Spain. Day two, we are at sea. And while we are at sea, we will be giving you more information about the non-for-profit organization. Day three, we are in Naples and Pompeii. Then we are, day four, we are in Rome. Then we are in Italy. And then after that, we are in France. We are in France. And then we are in Palma de Massacora. And then day eight, we are in Barcelona again. Now, category BC, balcony stateroom is on is 1313. And then we have category BE, balcony stateroom, it's 1273. Then we have interior stateroom, which is 873. You have 1 year to pay. There is a payment plan deposit you can make and pay monthly until the 12 months. The last payment, I think, is in February of 2014. So again, you can call 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3174. Let me read these numbers again. You may consult our cruise consultant, Olinda Begg, at 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3174. Or you may email her to find out about how to get your deposit to her and to get more particulars about the cruise. Olindabegg at AOL.com. That's Olinda Begg at AOL.com. And the ship, you can check out the ship and you can see that the kind of things that they do on the Epic cruise line. So again, I look forward to seeing you there on the Norwegian Epic. So again, we honor you. We thank you. We are here twice a week. And I look forward to for you joining me on Sunday again. Sign up to follow us here on the show. Mark the show favorite so that you can be informed about who my guests are. or what topic I will be speaking on. If you're in the immediate Connecticut or Westchester areas, you can message me on Facebook or right here on the radio show, and I'll give you more information about the French Cultural Exchange Program, because we are still looking for some families. And for those of you, wherever you are across the world, please support our breakfast feeding program by visiting http://www.gofundme.com, the numeral 1, lowercase g, the numeral 4, lowercase m, and the numeral 3 and 8. We appreciate your support by going there to donate towards the cafeteria building fund and also the breakfast feeding program at my former elementary school in Jamaica, West Indies, in the parish of Carmel. The school is known as the Carmel Moravian School. The not-for-profit organization is the Empowering People Foundation, Inc. The Empowering People Foundation, Inc. And we are working on our website, and we will appreciate any support. We are also developing a list of people who wants to go down to Jamaica with us and work on the project. So if you are interested in doing so, I want for you to message me and we'll talk about the details. Listen, everybody can help. Everybody can do something. You might be able to get a couple of t-shirts. You might be able to get a couple of cups and bowls to help us to put utensils in the cafeteria and to help to feed them the hot breakfast. So nothing, no contribution or no contribution or donation is too small. Everything, every little bit counts. And again, I encourage you, check us out on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne, facebook.com/Daphne Clark Hudson. Check me out on Twitter, on LinkedIn, Daphne Clark Hudson. I'm on Pinterest and everything. So I encourage you to reach out and support me and stop at the show page here for the radio show and jot down a little comments or a remarks. Let me know how you feel about the show. If there are certain conversation you would like to hear taking place here on the show, please send me a message as well, and I will do all that I can to make it happen. Again, I honor you. I love you. I support you. I ask for your continuous prayers and support in this show. And share the link with others so that they will join us. We are here twice a week on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And we are on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And you can go on the site and you can just check through any of the archives and you can just enjoy the conversations there. So again, I hope you are keeping cool wherever you are. I hope you are taking time out from your busy schedule as an entrepreneur and enjoy your families. If you have not planned to go on a vacation, I encourage you to just do something at home and have some fun. put on the hose if you don't have a swimming pool and have some water spraying and just enjoy yourself. It doesn't matter how old we are. There is a child in each and every one of us. Do not put off what you can do today for tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So have fun. It doesn't cost a lot to have fun and to enjoy your families. So go out there, call someone that you know, let them know you love them and that you appreciate them if you have not done so in a long time. And most of all, it is always my honor to remind you that you are called for a destiny. You were born for a purpose. Do not allow anyone, no one, not your spouse, not your siblings, not your best friend, not your boss, not your supervisor, no one to derail you and take you off of that destiny path. Again, enjoy this great summer and let someone know how much you love them.
I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit. all see the breaking of day. It's death. And I know what I know.
No, it's 20. Hold on, let me turn. Wait.